back at it here. 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty with you. Mac Morey in for Dusty for the next week and a half here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, the breaking news this morning that everybody's going to be talking about the water cooler, and you want to have a conversation about this today at work. Chiefs, Broncos, Monday Night Football to open the season. Ooh. Now, you're asking me, Bob, where are they playing?
Where?
We don't know the answer to that question.
Heard of him.
We just know that they're opening against each other on Monday Night Football at 7 p.m. Central Time along the ABC ESPN family of networks. And so, again, like I said last segment, I think, Mac, maybe you agree with me. I'd love this game to be on the road. Go up to Denver and
right
run on opening night.
Yes.
Let's go.
That's exactly what
Take
I want.
Take care of business, man. You get a road win on opening night, Monday Night Football. Oh, and by the way, standalone game, Monday Night Football, biggest, everybody's going to be watching because everybody wants to see if Patrick Mahomes is going to be back, baby. And he's going to go out there. They're going to win 41-0, and everybody's going to be like, oh, man, Patrick Mahomes is back. Did you see Ken Walker had 3 touchdowns?
Did you see that?
Emmett Johnson catch that pass along the far sideline on that wheel route and run into the end zone for a touchdown? Did you see
Xavier
Worthy know where the sideline was?
Oh, wow, that would be great. That is the best thing you just said. That's all I want, actually. I don't care if we win. I don't care where it's played.
Right.
Let's have Xavier Worthy know where he's at on the football field.
I'm going to ask you this just off the cuff because it kind of does set up what we're going to talk about here. Let me ask you this right now. What are the 3 areas for the Chiefs? What do you think is the biggest area for the Chiefs that needs to get better from last year to this year where you're going to be looking at it and going, man, they were supposed to improve there and they need to get better at that spot. And if they don't, we're going to be talking about it a lot.
I would say the play calling.
Yeah, the play calling probably. Okay.
Yeah.
Play calling. I was thinking maybe the wide receiver production. You know,
yeah.
we've talked
hand
a lot
hand.
About that.
Yep.
Kind of, you know, maybe, you know, getting the running back involved at all. And
yeah, exactly. That having a balanced thing. Offense.
Yeah.
Having some sort of a game plan that feels like us. Yeah. Having an identity on offense.
Right. And,
yes.
And those are all the things that the team told us too, right? You know, they told us it's the coaching. They changed out their entire coaching staff on the offensive side. They brought back Eric Bieniemy. They got Chatty O'Shea in here and some other guy to coach the running backs. And so everybody's excited about, hey, the coaches needed to be improved at those 2 positions at running back and wide receiver. And I think they ultimately ended up doing something like that. The reason I ask is because we hit the quarter point of the season for the Kansas City Royals, and we're having the same conversations that we did last year about what needed to be improved. And that's hitting with runners in scoring position and runners on base. And when I look at the quarter point of the season, the biggest thing that plagued the Royals last year, in my opinion, was not hitting with runners in scoring position, not hitting with runners on 3rd and 2 outs or less than 2 outs, not getting the runners in when you need to get the runners in. And I feel like through the first quarter poll of the season, we're still talking about that when it comes to the Kansas City Royals, because they're not very good when it comes to driving in runners and getting in guys from, you know, 2nd and 3rd with less than 2 outs or guys in scoring position. They're not doing a very good job of that. And that's where we ended last season. And they wanted to go into the offseason and improve that. I heard from somebody in the organization. They told me, we've got to get better with runners, you know, on base. We've got to hit better with runners on 3rd and less than 2 outs. We've got to improve on those things. And so far through the first quarter poll of the season, they haven't. So what I'm getting at is I hope we're not having these same conversations with the Chiefs after the first month of the season, Mac, where we're like, did they do what they set out to do in this offseason to get better? Track record will say the Chiefs will be fine.
The Chiefs will do it.
The
yeah.
Chiefs will be fine. But as we sit at the first quarter poll of the season for the Kansas City Royals, the biggest thing to me is the number one thing that plagued them last year. They did not improve on their number one flaw from last season, and that's hitting with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you could also look at it the other angle, like, okay, biggest draft in Chiefs, to continue with the Chiefs-Royals comparisons
yeah.
here, biggest draft for the Chiefs in the last 3 or 4 seasons since 2022 or whatever
fair.
It was.
Yep.
Lot of attention on the young guys for the Royals.
Yep.
They've showed up.
Yeah, they have.
Those are 2 positive points right now. Carter Jensen is going to be a catcher here for the next a long time.
And I love the fact that he's making mistakes right now.
Yeah, he's made some mistakes. Yeah, and I know we're going to get texts when I say catcher for a long time. Yeah, defensively, he's made a couple of mistakes.
He's also 22 years old.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's still learning at the big league
yes.
level, and he's learning the speed of the game. In 2 years, Carter Jensen's going to be a rock star behind the plate. When Salvi finally hangs him up and heads to Cooperstown and Carter Jensen takes over, he's going to be very good behind the plate. And we're going to look back at a season like this and say, man, you learned a lot from that year where you were making mistakes, pass balls,
yes.
missing tag, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Like, you're learning a lot right now. And that's a good thing. I don't have a problem with Carter right now.
And then Cags has kind of arrived. Like, I feel like Caglione is a part of winning Royals baseball. I think he should play every day. I think he could be an outfielder. He could be a first baseman. Like, I think he's got versatility, and we've seen the bat. Like, those are two great things when I look at the quarter season Royals check-in that I'm going, okay, I hope after four games we're talking about Mansoor Delane and Peter Woods and Kennedy and Emmett Johnson going, damn, dude, Brett Veach did it again. We are reloaded, because that's what it looks like right now for the Royals. I'm like, okay, yes, runners in scoring position. We'll talk about Salvi and Vinny this segment, I'm sure.
Sure.
Negatives there, but okay, at least I can look at, all right, there's some future here behind Bobby Witt that feels solid.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a couple of guys there that you like, all right, you know, I kind of like these two, you know.
Yeah, these are guys that...
And you got Garcia signed long-term, which is a great thing. You don't have to worry about the left side of your infield at all for the, you know, till you move into the new stadium. And so you don't have any of that to worry about. It's really a good feeling to know that left side of the infield is all locked up and ready to go. You put in there about the Salvi concerns and where you are with concerns with Salvador Perez. I'm a different breed. I don't get concerns about athletes.
Salvi concern.
Now, it does. I have, and I don't mean to sound this the wrong way. I got too much other stuff to worry about in my life than whether what Salvi or any athlete is doing. Like, I'm just,
it's not taking you up your day.
No,
but when we're talking about the Royals,
I'm not concerned about Salvador Perez. No, not at all. He's still a veteran guy.
From 1 to 10, any Salvi concern? I get it, veteran guy. But this is different than other past slumps or past seasons.
I mean, yeah. But and part of me is like, I don't want to have a concern about Salvi.
Yeah.
Is that okay too? The real point is maybe I don't want to have a concern about Salvi.
That's fair. It was 2 years ago when we were talking about Travis Kelce and the legend. Like, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that now. Obviously, Travis said, guys, hold my beer. I'm okay.
I think the Hall of Famers know what they're doing.
Yeah, and hopefully Salvador Perez can do the same thing. I do think this year has been a little bit different. I think Carrington brought it up on a show probably, I guess it had to be yesterday because today's Tuesday, about the weekend. And
oh, great act. Great concert at halftime of the Super Bowl. It was fantastic.
It was really weird. I didn't like the camera thing that he did, but he talked about the Mother's Day weekend and the Royals and how it was Salvador Perez's birthday and how he wasn't playing on his birthday or the Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And does that kind of turn your head and go, okay, what's going on there? That would be something that Salvador Perez would probably usually be okay with. So
I go back to what Ned Yost always said. I am not sitting my best players at home for my fans who may get to one game a year. I think that's the way you run your lineup. But also, this is a lineup that a computer's generating. So they don't have any feel for what matters, I guess, in a computer.
816, yes, we're worried about Salvi. A different 816. I think there has to be a little worry about him. I'm not 5-alarm fire scared yet, but I'm worried. 6 out of 10. I would agree with that, 816. 5 to 6 out of 10.
Can we change the term worried to maybe it's over?
That's a good, yeah, we can change the verbiage.
Yeah. Because every athlete, other than like George, you know, declines at the end. It happens. It happens all over the place. LeBron's not the same. MJ was, like, everybody declines at the end. It's humans, right? We get old. So
I would love to decline like LeBron.
I know, please. I would too. I would be outstanding, right? I think I probably have.
I was going to say, I think you're doing it.
Yeah, I think I'm doing all right. But I think, like, with Salvi, maybe we have just seen already the best, and we're just kind of now watching the twilight of his career. And if we are just watching the twilight, which obviously we are, he's drafted 20 years ago or signed 20 years ago this week. He was signed 20 years ago this week.
That's amazing.
Okay, so he's up there in age.
I was seven.
So maybe we're just watching the twilight of his career, and instead of getting worried about it, how about just enjoy it? Because before you know it, it's going to be gone, and that's a big presence in this city that we're not going to have anymore. So I don't get worried about it. I just reflect and enjoying it is what it is at this point in time, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's the Rob meter. It's the washed meter.
Yeah.
We're just kind of seeing, okay, is this kind of the cliff? Did it happen?
Maybe it did. Maybe it did. We'll know at the end of the season for sure whether or not that cliff happened.
Yeah,
right?
I think we need to come up with some sort of demarcation line here. I think I can't wait the whole year.
Okay.
I need a game marker, a date. I want
what are we looking
stat.
For,
exactly.
Though?
What like, am I looking for? Yeah. I need something. We don't have to decide that right now, but think about that. And text line, maybe come up with something, because I know a lot of the text line responding, Salvi's washed, LOL, he can't hit, he doesn't catch anymore. He's always been streaky, but damn, I'm definitely worried about him at the plate. I'm worried about Salvi in the sense that I don't want this to turn into a situation where we want him to retire.
Yeah, that's a great text. Take
great
the week.
Text.
Yeah,
yes.
That's where you are with athletes. That's why I say it all the time. I'd rather have somebody bounced out a year early than a year or two too late.
Of course. You don't want to have your memory of someone be kind of tarnished.
No.
Definitely not.
No, not at all. So that's a great text right there. I understand that. But I also don't want to see Salvi in a different uniform either. And as long as he wants to keep playing, he's Salvador Perez is the conduit from the 2014-2015 to where we are now. He's kind of that carryover, the show guys in that locker room. Hey, we can win here in Kansas City. He's important to have around on this roster right now.
Before we go to break, real quick, first quarter grade.
Oh, it's a C. It's an average team. I mean, a little bit below average right now. What are you, 19 and 22?
I'm going to say C plus because of the way they began was an F minus.
Yeah.
And I feel like the last half of this quarter has been
pretty good.
A B plus, a B, yeah. At least a B.
Sure.
So I'm going to give them that C plus.
Okay. Yeah, it's an average team as of right now. Let's see what the second quarter can do, and if they can get that grade up a little bit more. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, this guy will be the biggest impact player from the draft. We'll tell you who that is next.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.